Abate la rimette dentro, esce Radu, porta vuota. Gol! Gol! Abbiamo battuto il gatto nero! Li abbiamo battuti tutti, Alessio! Grande Alessio! È bella la vita! Lava quella zolla, Alessio! Lava la quella zolla, Alessio!
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Sempre Milan podcast. I'm your host, Ollie Fisher. You can find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher, joined once again by Anthony Torgrud.
What's up, guys? Glad to be back after our holiday hiatus that we did there. Excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we got Madison, as usual, as well.
Yeah, I'm happy to be back talking to you guys. It feels like it's been forever. But you guys can find me on Twitter at Madison_DT.
Yeah, it has been forever because AJ forgot to plug his Twitter account. So I'll let you do that.
Oh, shit. Did I do that? Wow. All right. Yeah. Follow me on Twitter at Torgrud45. Jeez, I had to think of what my Twitter is.
I know. Very important to get that in there. Said it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a new year. You know, this whole thing about new year, new me. We were thinking, well, a nice home game against Sampdoria to kick off 2020, start of a new decade. Perhaps this is the decade when we get a bit of a rise back to prominence. And who knows, we might be looking back at this game as the one that kick-started it all. Zlatan Ibrahimovic's big return to the club. That was all made official in between our last episode and this episode. Things moved really quickly after the Atalanta game and we got it over the line. Was announced on the 27th. He got unveiled on Friday the 3rd of January at Casa Milan. That was amazing. You know, hundreds of fans showed up and all that kind of stuff. So that was great. And then there were some rumours saying he was going to start this game against Sampdoria. He didn't end up doing so. Piontek started, same front three as what we've been used to for the last few weeks. And ultimately, we drew a blank. So, yeah, new year, same shit.
Yeah, this is actually
not same shit. We didn't lose 5-0.
That's true. Yeah. It's an improvement.
Positives.
It's a step in the right direction. This is actually only the fourth game. Fourth year this millennium that we haven't won our year opener. So, yeah, that's always exciting, you know, breaking records, setting new ones.
This is it. We're trendsetters, aren't we? I've also seen the thing that Ibrahimovic on his debut for us in 2010, the season that we ended up going on and winning the Scudetto, we lost 2-0 away at Cesena.
Was it Cesena? I thought it was Lecce.
Yeah. No, it was Cesena. And and we failed to score today as well. So that's kind of ironic in a way, the way that it mirrors. I mean, for me, this was kind of a similar game to the Sassuolo one, you know, where we drew 0-0 again. We had more of the ball. We had more of the chances overall. Just couldn't find a way through. But I would say the first half of this, we were much, much worse than that game. Second half, the game opened up. I think it became fairly clear that Sampdoria, you know, despite what Ranieri wants to do with them, and he's doing a pretty good job with them. He's managed to get them out of the bottom three. They weren't going to be able to sit with two banks of four for the entire game. I don't know, not run out of discipline, but find it more and more difficult to resist going on the counter-attack. We found some more spaces, but it's one of those where every shot seemed to be magneted to the keeper. Ibra had a good header when he came on. We had Suso shoot straight at the keeper. Calhanoglu did the same. Teo Hernandez hit the bar, albeit with like a fluked cross. Just another one where this season you look at it and it's just been a bunch of match days where they've all just not been our day.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned we didn't score a goal, and it definitely wasn't for a lack of trying. I think we had 12 shots on target the second half alone, so that might be a game record for us this season. I don't know for sure, but it's up there. And we only have 16 goals the whole season anyway, so it's got to be close. But, yeah, it was interesting, just the total dynamic shift when Zlatan and Leao came on at the same time there for Paqueta and Bonaventura. It seemed like the team was kind of waiting for that moment when they knew Zlatan was coming in. And once they did, it was like, okay, long ball's over the top. Let's find the big man. And, you know, it wasn't really working, but you could see that that was the game plan. And it put a lot of pressure on, and I think it kind of crippled Sampdoria a little bit. They had a few counters, and luckily GGO came up pretty big, saved us there. But overall, man, it just another really disappointing game and a disappointing season. And it's just a reminder that, you know, no matter how big it was to have Zlatan coming in, it's not enough. We need more. So, hashtag,
it's not enough. He only played a half hour, roughly, you know. Give him time to make his imprint on the squad. You know, you could tell as soon as he came into the game, almost the entire team played differently. Just, and it's because he has a demanding presence on the field, you know? And, I mean, I thought it was pretty awesome when Liao got subbed on after him. He just had a huge smile on his face because he knew, he was like, I'm about to play with this fucking guy, you know?
Yeah.
And the link-up play between them was pretty good. I'm hoping we get to see that from the start next week.
I actually thought Hakan's link-up play with Zlatan improved a lot compared to the first half. You know, once he moved to the midfield, you could tell they've been working some drills in training because he was, again, like you said about Liao smiling, Hakan was pretty excited as well, it looked like. And so I wasn't too disappointed with that. Really, the main disappointment for me personally was obviously the lack of goals, but specifically Suso and his just overall performance being
horrible.
Yeah.
Out of 10, I would say 3 would be generous. We gave him a 4 in our post-match ratings. I think that's one of those where you're sort of raging at the whole team for not managing to score against a team that's fourth bottom. So you sort of spread out your rage and give a load of players quite low marks. But yeah, Suso was dreadful. It's probably, for me, even having had a few hours to reflect on it, his worst individual performance for us.
It showed his injury. Like,
he got the ball so much, and every single time his cross didn't beat a first man, or it was aimed at nobody, or sometimes he crossed way too deep, sometimes he dribbled the ball out of play inexplicably. His set piece deliveries were dreadful. The one thing that you can normally rely on is at least his technical ability to put in a handful of good crosses per game. Mm-hmm. The one game where we needed the service, it wasn't there. And for all the people, and I don't have an agenda against Sousa or anything like that. I think he's been our most important creative player over the last 3 seasons. But for all the people who were saying, oh, he's not had a good first half of the season, but just watch when Suso's aiming balls into Zlatan, everything will change. And it didn't. Like, you've got to realise that Zlatan is not some kind of superhero who's going to teleport himself onto the end of shit crosses. It just doesn't work that way. He does still need the service. He does still need the delivery. And you've got to remember that, with all due respect to you two Americans, he's not up against MLS centre-backs anymore either. You know, these are people that are used to dealing with physical presences. When you look down the league at some of the physical centre-forwards that are here and that play centre-forward, some of them will come up against you know, rough players like that week in, week out, so they'll have some kind of idea with how to deal with it. I thought he still managed to drop into space, and you can see he's still got that eye for, you know, for a classy bit of link-up play and all that kind of stuff. We can look forward to that. His positioning's still good. But it does make you wonder. It makes me wonder if there'll be some kind of change in approach, either tactically, in terms of the way that we set up, or whether in January they'll decide we can't carry on with Hakan and Suso as our wingers. We need something.
I think Hakan is going to stay. I think he's going to have more of a midfield presence. But I think Suso, I think the 4-3-3 for us is pretty much done with him on the wing. You saw it today. Like you said, his crosses were just horrible. He crossed the ball. I think it was his last play of the game. He crossed the ball and he shot it right in front of him into the fans. Like, what are you doing?
Didn't even get off the ground. Yeah, yeah. It just rolled out.
Twitter. Where he cut onto his weaker right foot, and we actually had a bit of a break at that point, and he just sat up off the pitch and he sliced it into the first tier. It was just absolutely dreadful. And that's when the heavy groan started, like, from the crowd. They got on his back today, and also I noticed every time he misplaced a cross or a pass, Zlatan was like clapping him and, you know, trying to G him up as if to say, you know, don't listen to the crowd, just keep at it. But it never came. But I mean, you alluded to it. That was basically a double substitution with Liao and Ibrahimovic coming on. I reckon we might see those two as not a pairing, as in they're up front together, but those two working together. I mean, we saw it towards the end of the game when Ibra won that flick on, and Liao almost found himself in behind. His first touch was just a little bit too far inside. I think if he gets that separation and gets a shot in, who knows, we might be reflecting on a really exciting bit of link-up play. But those two, they have to start together moving forward, in my opinion. I don't know what you two think.
I think Gale looked fantastic on the wing. Go ahead, Matty.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Zlatan has to be match fit before he starts. I don't know if he starts next week, but I've been wanting Liao to start for a long time. He has not been given a run of games at all, and he's just been kind of written off a little bit by Pioli. And he needs at least a run of games to see if he's worth to play, you know, whether or not it's with Zlatan or not. But I think when Zlatan starts to play from the first whistle, I think Liao will be on the field with him.
Yeah. Last week, in lieu of the podcast, I did a Periscope on our Twitter account. And one of the questions I got asked a few times was, who did I want us to sign as a left wing replacement? And I said, I think the answer is already in our squad. I think it's Rafael Liao. And we finally got to see that. And I thought he looked fantastic. You know, like you said, he had our best chance of the game, almost scored there. Him and Zlatan linked up well. That's a partnership I'd like to see continue to be built forward. One thing that I think is a bit interesting, though, is taking Bonaventura off instead of Hakan. Because now I will say Bonaventura also had a really bad game with Suso, but I thought that was interesting to move Hakan to midfield instead of leaving Bonaventura there. Do you think that was because Latin wants more of an attack-minded midfielder? Or what do you guys think that reasoning was?
I think Bonaventura just had a bad game. I think that going forward, I think Hakan would come off for Liao instead of Bonaventura. I think Bonaventura is a more versatile player. And I think Hakan's kind of like Suso, where he has a couple good things that he does. In Suso's case, it's like he's like a one-trick pony. And that worked the past 2 or 3 years. But as we want to push to be better, it's just not going to work. And before Bonaventura's injury, he was huge in the team because he was our creative player. And I think he's going to continue to be going forward.
I totally understand the substitution. I think it would have been harsh to take Çalhanoğlu off and keep Bonaventura on. I think he was having probably his worst game since coming back from injury for us. That being said, he still appears to me to be more of a goal threat. So if you're in search of a goal, then I think that source of inspiration is more likely to come from Bonaventura than it is from Çalhanoğlu at the moment. I think he's purely there as an assist winger. And we've seen Bonaventura score a couple of times already. And he had that shot blocked from the free kick that was half cleared in the first half on the half volley. When you see that from behind, the technique on that was unbelievable. And it was a pretty good block. But I think this was one of those games where perhaps Pioli, as much as he can try different things in training, you've got to acknowledge that he's only had 3 training sessions with Ibrahimovic there. Mm-hmm. And he's still... This was his first game, basically, of knowing how certain players would react in match situations to Ibrahimovic's presence, to perhaps the slight change in system that we went through when he came on, which I thought we did. I thought we looked like we went too up top when Liao came on, to be honest. I mean, I know you could say he looked like a left winger, but the runs he was making in behind were that of a centre forward, really. So I think there's still a lot of figuring out to do, and thankfully we've got the best part of a week now. 3 days, probably, if they get tomorrow off, you know, it's 3 more full training sessions before we go to Cagliari on Saturday, which will come on to. They got beat 4-0 today, so might be able to take advantage of that. But there's going to be some teething problems. There's going to be some growing pains here. I think to expect Zlatan to come in and score on his debut for everything to click would be perhaps unreasonable, especially given that our season so far has been anything but a fairy tale. Although, at the same time, saw plenty of encouraging signs towards the end of the game to suggest that, once again, all we're missing is that little bit of composure in the final third, the decision-making, and that's what happens when you have such a young squad. We've spoken about it time and time again. We're just missing that bit of maturity to first of all, you know, capture the decisive moments in games, but then also just to have a bit of... Just to be clever in the final third, just to be much smarter in possession, to be more incisive with passes. It's all just a little bit lacking at the moment. And I think they share a portion of the blame for that. I don't think the system is as clear anymore as it was at first under Pioli. He can probably take some of the blame for that. I think the substitutions perhaps been a little bit suspect as well. And there's no excuse for that first half performance either. It looked like we were still hungover from Christmas, to be honest. That was one of the worst first halves I've seen all season. But I don't know, I guess one of the positives is a clean sheet, despite, for me, a shaky-looking Romagnoli and a Calabria who was insistent on another suicidal back pass. But Donnarumma bailed us out again. Proving
he also gave us a few heart attacks.
He likes coming off his line. That's one thing that has become very clear now. It's something that I never really noticed before. I feel like this was a game where he said, you know what? F it, I'm going to come off my line about four times and see what happens. But yeah, the Calabria back pass, that was the one that I think was reckless and completely unnecessary. Rightly, people are calling out Calabria for the pass itself, which was bad because it was to nowhere. But if you notice, there were still two of our defenders, Romagnoli and Musaccio, who were goal side of the ball. So if Donnarumma doesn't come out, he doesn't give Qualiarella, not even him, it's Gabbiadini the option to go around him and get the shot in, because one of Musaccio or Romagnoli tackles him, definitely. It's not like he's through on goal or anything. But by coming out, it completely threw everything off guard. Aside from that, though, made a couple of vital saves, particularly that one through one-on-one. And on a night where Alex Meret has made an absolute howler for Napoli, I think it just once again proves that he's Italy's number one. And we need to get his contract sorted, because that's starting to worry me a bit now.
Well, and there was a contract renewal within the league that, in my opinion, is important to Milan's situation as well. I believe it was Chesney who just got a pay raise.
Until 2024, so that's a long-term deal. I know keepers can go on for longer, but he's in his 30s now.
Yeah. That, to me, says Raiola is going to ask for a raise for Donnarumma pretty soon. You know, I don't see why he wouldn't use that as leverage. You do give it to him or you don't?
I do.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. You have to. That's
how many how many, I do wonder. I've said before, I can't remember if I said it on here, but I wrote sort of a mini feature about it. I don't see any way that this ends well at all. You can't say no to giving Donnarumma a pay rise because he's earned it. Boban came out and said a couple of months ago that he's the leader in the dressing room. So that doesn't really help things. That drives his stock up. You've got the likes of PSG and Real Madrid reportedly interested in him. And I think that there probably is genuine interest.
I don't think PSG is going to go after him at all. I think they tried this summer. And I think Leonardo's all talk. I feel like PSG has cut off spending tremendously.
I feel like
$80 million for Paqueta and Romagnoli. Are you kidding me?
That Romagnoli was an interesting alone. I don't trust the sauce on that one, but it was an interesting one. I think Leonardo is probably the kind of guy who maybe holds a little bit of, not a bit of a grudge, but he remembers how things went, and if he's got any chance to cause a bit of a minor disturbance at his old club, then he's probably going to do that. But it seems like the interest in Paqueta is genuine. So I
think Paqueta for sure, but not Romagnoli.
It makes sense, you know. It's fellow Brazilian. He was influential in bringing him from Flamengo. It's not working out at Milan. We're probably going to look to cash in if there is, you know, the right offer. I'm sticking to my guns on this one. I think if we get anything 35 mil plus, then we might as well get that money and reinvest it in a more useful midfielder with respect. I think that Pioli's realised in this current iteration of the 4-3-3, there isn't really a perfect position for Paqueta within it, because the left side's taken, so he has to play on the right. And you've already got someone in the left mezzala role in Bonaventura who likes to get forward. So Paqueta now has to be sort of a box-to-box player, and I don't think it suits him.
What about throwing in for Suso?
I've said I would like to see him as a winger. If you remember, he started as a left winger when he first came over. I wouldn't mind seeing him on the left, but obviously then it's like, do you play Liao on the right? And I think it's worth trying anybody in that right wing spot. I'd even be in favour of trying Castillejo now. To have sort of two more direct wingers on the field with Ibra could only help in theory. but also wouldn't judge the Suso-Ibra link-up or lack of link-up in this game as, like, the definitive answer. Perhaps they could go to Cagliari and, you know, Suso could get two assists for Ibra if he's crossing games on point that day. We don't know how it's going to work out. It's been 40 minutes, so, well, 35 minutes, whatever it was that he was on the field. So we'll wait and see on that one. Just quickly want to ask a question. This one comes from the Rossoneri podcast in Sweden, which you two guys have both been guests on. Good guys.
Nice guys.
So,
I don't think I've been on that one.
Oh, have you not? I lose track of all these.
He was on the Montreal one.
Yeah.
I lose track of all these media appearances that you two guys have.
We're popular.
Anyway, they ask, this is the fourth coach now who's played Hakan and Suso as the left and right winger. Why are they always starting players? Is 4-3-3 the right system moving forward? I mean, we've semi-touched on it a little bit, I guess, but what is it about those two as wingers that they seem to like?
I think the options are really thin. You know, it's almost like the lesser of two evils. As far as the left wing, the options, we have Bonaventura, but he plays better in the midfield maybe, or we don't have a person to replace in the midfield with him. So we're just kind of thin there. Same with the right wing. You know, no one is a big fan of Castillejo. I know you just mentioned starting him. And I would like to see it as well, mix and match as much as we can with Ibra. But I really think that's what it comes down to, is we just don't have the personnel to shake anything up.
Mm. What was the game before Castillejo got injured? And he was really, really good until he went down with the...
Was that the Napoli game?
I don't think it was Napoli because I didn't watch that one. No, it was a home game. I think it might have been Lazio. Could be wrong.
I'm 90% sure that it was Juve.
When did he get hurt? How long ago do we think that was?
Oh, he was out for a few weeks, wasn't he? So
yeah.
Let me have a quick look as well. But yeah,
it was Lazio. He went out in the 35th minute. Yeah.
And he'd done really well up until then, and obviously he's... It's difficult because we've seen inconsistency from him, like we've seen from... Oh, my God. You have to excuse me there, lads. I'm still getting over a cold here. Yeah, we've seen inconsistency from him like we have from all the players so far this season. But if it's not working with Suso moving forward, then give it a go, because the media seems to suggest that he wants to stay and he's going to reject any chance of a move in January. So I think we might as well make the most of the assets that we have and see what he can do, especially a winger who's more direct and actually has a bit of goal threat. Might be worth giving him a few minutes off the bench or whatever, but just an option. And another question from Albacuracy. I think that's like an Aubameyang thing. Should Milan play with two strikers? So there's been stuff again in the papers suggesting that like a 4-4-2 or a 3-4-1-2 are currently being considered, maybe even Ibrahimovic and Piontek up front together. What do you reckon?
I'm not against it. It just we got to try it out in training for a while, make sure it clicks before we implement it in a game. We're just too deep into a terrible season to risk going even further. You know, you could argue that, what do you have to lose? You're already in 12th. But I don't know. It scares me to switch up a system that I'm not 100% confident in. If we have a full summer, because we saw it under Jim Powell, and we saw it not click. And the only change really is Zlatan. And while that is a big difference, I don't think that's enough to make the system magically work. So I don't know. I'm
I can't believe about to say this is, if we had Andre Silva, I'd say do it. But Piontek and Ibra are way too similar of their playing style to play together. I think Andre Silva would be a great second striker to Ibra.
Mm. Yeah.
But then where does Leao play? I'd rather have Leao on the field and develop him than bring in Andre Silva, who isn't going to develop into much.
Yeah, it's a hard one because I can't picture an Ibrahimovic-Piontek pairing in my head being successful. I just can't for some reason. I don't know why. not as if they're the same player. I think, you know, we've seen that they both try with the hold up play and that kind of thing. But it also then makes me think, well, what would our go-to change be off the bench if you're playing with two out-and-out number nines on the field and it's not working and we're still pushing for a goal? The next change that you make is automatically going to be a negative one because you're going to have to bring on Liao, who's, you know, perceived by many to be a winger, or there's no other striker that you can then bring on. So it kind of means you're putting all your... Not a striker. It just means that you're putting all your eggs in one basket from the first minute, and I don't particularly like doing that. It's a tough one. I mean, Cutrone's going to Fiorentina. I would love it if he came back here. I think that could work as a pairing up front. But I think that ship sailed.
I bet if we wanted him back, he would come back in a heartbeat.
I don't think
management would do that, though. I think it's... You can't sell a player and then buy him back half a season later.
No, yeah, but like what I don't get is this management has been preaching youth, you know? And then you go out and sell one of the most exciting Italian youth strikers.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, the logic behind it was pure revenue, you know?
Right.
So I get the move, but at the same time, you're right. It goes against the entire philosophy of the current project right now, but I don't know. That's a tough one. He wasn't performing as well towards the end of his tenure with us anyways, so... But you're right. I think he would link up a lot better with Zlatan than what we currently have.
Mm-hmm. Maybe do a swap deal, Piontek for Cutrone.
Can you imagine that?
That would boil some piss. No, it's an interesting one, though, in the sense that Wolves are apparently after Kessié. I mean... You do something with that, maybe. I'd still like Ruben Neves. Yes. I think Ruben Neves would be absolutely perfect for our midfield.
Ruben Neves.
Yeah, they wouldn't. They wouldn't offer that.
He's their best player.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, and they are actually a club in Europe, which is kind of scary to think about. They're now a more attractive prospect than us at the moment. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it for the Sampdoria game. I can't really remember anything else, apart from the ref being absolutely garbage.
Again, it's Davide a habit Massa. With him.
It's him, yeah. He's awful.
Is it him or is it us?
No, it's him. It's him.
It's him with us.
Some of the decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was pretty awful, but we
booked
Radir Krunic.
Well, he's
did
the same.
Did Krunic get booked for that?
Yeah,
got
his first tackle.
Yeah, for his first tackle, yeah.
Oh, yes.
To be fair, he went in hard, though. Like,
it was a rough challenge.
That guy is
a wasn't a yellow card. I don't think.
I could see it being given later
yellow
in the game. It was our only yellow. There was, like, six on the other side, though.
Just
one thing that we did do that I liked that we hadn't seen in a while was we tried to score until the very last second. And usually this team turns off around like the 85th minute when things aren't going too hot, or even when they are going hot, you know, we just kind of turn off. So it was nice to see that we pushed till the very last whistle. That's that champion mentality. And I guarantee that had something to do with Ibra being on the pitch. Otherwise, I think we would have slowed down.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could see visibly. I mean, you couldn't really tell what he was saying, but even through his body language, he was G'ing up the rest of the team and saying, come on, you know, even when the deliveries were poor, like I said, Suso's crosses were coming into no man, and he was still clapping, he was still encouraging. I think that's exactly what we're going to see moving forward. He will try to raise the levels of everyone around him on the pitch by giving them confidence. And
how long do you think that lasts, though? You know, how many shit performances can Suso give him before Zlatan kind of starts to get pissy like he's always done with teammates that underperform?
I think he probably gave him a slap in the dressing room after the game anyway, to be honest. Yeah. What you see out there in the field is perhaps completely different to... No, on a serious note, they're probably still figuring each other out, the runs that they make, and, and you know, Ibra will learn about Suso's tendencies when he likes to cross on his strong foot, when he likes to go to the byline on his weaker foot. They'll work it out and things will look better. But for the time being, I think it is important just to be supportive, because Ibra's come in not just to raise the standard from a playing perspective, but also to raise the general level of the squad,
the mentality, you know,
in terms of their enthusiasm and their mentality, and the resilience and all that kind of stuff. All the buzzwords that we seem to be missing so far this season. So yeah, that was another draw. Three games in a row without scoring. Now we clearly have a goal scoring problem, but we're not linked with any strikers really. I think that
we just signed one.
I will say we just signed Zlatan.
We did, but I mean, everything says that Piontek's pretty much going to be allowed to leave. Are we then going to go and sign another striker?
If Piontek leaves, we'll sign another striker for sure.
I don't think so. I don't think we needed to have three strikers to begin with. I mean, we started the season with only two. That's all we really need.
Unless Leao plays striker.
Oh.
I'd rather see him play on...
That's true. Yeah, if Leao goes to the wing, like, I would like, which I completely forgot. So maybe the Rebic-Andre Silva deals just get terminated. Andre comes back as the backup for Ibra.
I think Andre is enjoying it a little bit, though, in Germany.
Yeah, I think he's doing a lot better. Well,
he started
off strong, but he hasn't lately.
It's like when he went to Sevilla, and he scored eight in his first 10 games, and then wasn't even showing up to the games by the end of the season because he didn't want to go there.
Yeah,
I think if Piontek goes, we sign another striker, but I don't know what the options are. I'd be happy to reopen the Belotti thing, to be honest. I've seen enough from him this season to suggest that he could do a serious job for us. I really like him as an all-round number nine, and if we spend money on him,
we have to play with two strikers because we're not going to sign him to be a bench player for Ibra.
What do you think about this? Call it a suggestion of signing Todibo or signing a centre back and playing 3-4-1-2. Because then you've got Hernandez and Conte / Calabria as wing backs, which kind of helps the fact that they can't defend. You've got Romagnoli, hopefully Caldara moving forward, and maybe like Todibo or another
centre
back.
Who would be the midfield? Benacer and
you need two battlers. Yeah, maybe Benacer.
Conte's played well when he was told to just defend.
Do you know what would be good? Benacer and Bakayoko.
That'd be fucking perfect, but you know what team doesn't have Bakayoko? Milan.
Monaco want Kessier, though. I'd just say swap.
Yeah, dude, I'd throw Kessier to Monaco so
Why
fast.
Why don't we just run the club?
We know what we're doing. You know, it's us. Let me just boot up my career mode in FIFA and I'll take over.
I guess, you know, we're not forcing wingers into places that they shouldn't be, because it's all right saying, well, where does Sousa fit into that formation? Definitely not as a number 10. We've figured that one out by now. But
that's also the thing. He doesn't. And that was one of my biggest apprehensions with switching to a two-striker formation earlier in the season, was it isolated our best player. I don't think he's our best player anymore. He's definitely not our best attacking option. And then after today, obviously I'm still kind of feeling the malaise from the game. It was just been 4 hours or whatever it's been. So I'd be happy to see him leave, whatever money we could get for him. And I think that makes sense. You know, let him go somewhere where he could actually get play time. If we're going to move away from a formation that has wingers, there's no reason to keep him around. Load up in areas we need. It'll be more compact, and we actually have the personnel to fill up a wingerless formation, in my opinion. So I think that might... I don't want to say the way to go, because I just said it wasn't like 20 minutes ago, but I don't know. It's not a bad idea in hindsight.
It's probably something that, as you said, needs to be implemented over the summer, really.
Exactly.
You can't just completely change philosophy halfway through the season, even though Gianpaolo did it after one game. The reason for me it seems so appealing is because Conte's gone to Inter and managed to basically implement it perfectly. Oh, yeah, but if we are to do it over the summer and you can bring in a coach that can do that, then, you know, hopefully we get bought out between now and the summer. That's what the speculation is suggesting, that Bernard Arnault wants it to all be sort of done by the spring.
Do you think he would change the name to LV Milan?
LVAC.
That'd be sick.
It would.
LVAC Milan.
Yeah. I think the kits would genuinely be made by Louis Vuitton.
What if it was still Puma, but in the stripes they just had the Louis Vuitton like pattern in it, like in the background?
Or maybe, wait, doesn't our sponsorship with Fly Emirates run out at the end of this season?
Oh, shit.
Yes, it all makes sense now. Welcome, Bernie. Yeah. It's interesting that, like, you see stuff and it's all.
Do you guys think it's real?
It's not
I think it's real. I don't know if it's going to happen. I think it's real.
And it's not like the most respected journalists in Italy, don't get me wrong. But it's the same, like, three or four guys who were all saying, trust me, stuff's happening. They're not denying it anymore. Those who were close to it know that there's negotiations ongoing. And they're all like, he wants Guardiola. It's, they're just all on the same.
Every single
sheet.
One of them.
Yeah,
and that's
weird.
The weirdest thing. Because yeah, normally, like, the guys that just kind of make shit up, like, that's the type of rumor they would say. They'd say, oh, the richest man in the world wants Pep Guardiola at Milan. Like, okay, that's a crazy rumor. Then when three or four of them say it, then it's like, huh. You know, they always try to one-up each other. They're never on the same page.
Yeah,
maybe they're just trying to get a name for themselves, so they're feeding off of each other.
Well, if it's true,
oh,
then...
that's possible, yeah.
Has anyone credible...
There was a lawyer who came out and claimed to be privy to the discussions. I've not heard of him personally. I doubt anybody has. But says that he's got a copy of documents whereby he's requested due diligence, which is as good as concrete interest in taking over the club.
What is that? The financial one? El Sole 24 Orange, yep. Or something like that?
Sole,
they
mentioned,
and that's like the number one source for financial.
Mm-hmm. So. They're a really good website, actually, if you get a chance to read the their Calcio stuff. It's really interesting. But yeah, they came out and said that there was a couple of groups who were actually interested. There was three in particular that were interested in getting involved, and two of them basically worked in real estate in Milan and wanted to be part of the stadium project to help sort of gentrify the area around the stadium. And Bernard Arnault has the idea of turning it into sort of like a Staples Center type complex, you know, with all the rich kids stuff in and around the new stadium, which would be cool.
I wouldn't be surprised if Elliot wanted out this fast. I think they expected it to go way differently than it is, and it's gonna be way more work than they know how to do.
Yep.
The bottom line is this: they don't have experience running football clubs. They've come in, hired people to get the fans on side, and said to the people that they should be putting their trust in, this is what we want to do. You know, we want to get capital gains by signing young players, developing them so they're worth more.
Mm-hmm. And
that reflects better on our balance sheets. Good way to run a business, but not necessarily to run one of the biggest and most expectant football clubs in the world. They don't.
Well, one of the things during the build-up to the takeover was, this was long before Gazidis was even mentioned or thought about, was that they're the Elliott family's only connection, or I'm sorry, the Singer family's only connection to football was they were fans of Arsenal, which that alone tells you they don't know what the fuck they're doing. But they got Gazidis from Arsenal, and the only people happy with that was Arsenal to get rid of him. So, you know, it's definitely interesting. They don't have the experience they needed, and it seemed like they just kind of hired people that they thought would have experience, like getting Maldini. They just assumed he might know what he's doing. And to his credit, he hasn't been, you know, terrible, but he also hasn't been a godsend, so we'll see.
I mean, he hasn't
would be helpful.
Done. He hasn't really sent us any flops, maybe one or two.
I mean, I guess Castillejo and Loxall were Leonardo, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at perhaps some of the signings over the summer that Maldini was part of. Rebic is not doesn't look like
Hernandez.
A good
one.
No, not Hernandez.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh yeah, he's great. He wanted him personally.
I'm thinking of one of the positive ones.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely positives. I just
Duarte. Oh. You know, you probably judge it after injury. Krunic, I would say, has been a 6 out of 10 so far. Liao, we've not really seen too much of. I don't know. It's a mixed bag so far. I think it'd be fair to say, but I think that Maldini and Boban has definitely alluded to this publicly on more than one occasion. Seems to me like they're working with handcuffs on. They've been told exactly what they can go out and get and what they want. And he sort of hinted, well, we want to win now, but the owners have other ideas. So I'm getting the sense that frustration's starting to filter now. Yeah.
If Arnaud took over, do you think he would keep Boban and Maldini if they said, like, these are the ideas we had that we wanted? No.
I think you'd probably hear them out, but I think they have their own. I mean, that's solid 24 or
Yeah.
See, Gazidis is... I have some sympathy because he's getting absolutely hounded by our fans. He wasn't brought in to make Sporting decisions. But I say Sporting decisions. Yeah, but I don't think that he's doing it. He's doing it because he's the link between the owners and between the sporting directors and all that kind of stuff. Gazidis should have been brought in to be in charge of sponsorship arrangements, commercial agreements, you know, all that kind of stuff. He should have been the one who... I mean, he came out and said most big clubs in the world have three major sponsors. At the moment, Milan has one, and it's Fly Emirates. Like, that's your fucking job to sort out. Don't tell us. Sort it out. Fix it. That's what you... You know, it's like... I don't know. It's like highlighting...
We should bring back in Galliani.
Well, I've heard... I've heard like some kind of exclusive, but that solo 24 hour report that you referred to said that that the Arnaud group would want to sort of instantly become the best, just like they have done in fashion. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, they go out and get the best manager, the best players, but also to build the best possible kind of board. And they have the idea of getting some old figures in to help ease the transition. Breda was mentioned. Apparently he's one of the intermediaries in the negotiations for the takeover. That's what they said, which was pretty bold. But he'd be an interesting one. And it does make you wonder if there'd be a knock on Galliani's door or, you know, others that have been...
Florentino Perez. Oof. Imagine that.
Berlusconi.
Berlusconi could come back as an honorary president or something like that. But this is the thing.
First time.
If you take the actual financial control out of the hands and say, right, we've put the decision making in the hands of people who have track record for making good decisions and have led the club through its most glorious era, but they don't have the financial constraints on them because we're giving them all the money that they need. Who knows? It could work. But we're talking about gambling with hundreds of millions here. So yeah. I think that Arnaud or the Louis Vuitton group, whoever it may be who takes over, would just want to put the best people in place. They might go out and poach Dortmund's sporting director, for example, Michael Zorc, I think it is, or, you know, someone just to say, right, they might go down the Ralf Rangnick route, which is quite an interesting hypothesis in itself, and I don't think we've heard the end of that either, because that was another one where the club weirdly denied it as soon as it came out. It's like, oh, you're not denying everything else. A denial... When it happens like that, is almost as good as a confirmation, in my opinion. And this might be it. We've gone through so many cycles now of change manager, change board, and now we've changed owners, well, you said 2/3 times in the last 3 years. Perhaps it's time to go for complete revolution and bring in one guy to do
to do what we should have done to begin with.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a mess, isn't it? Speaking of which, we got a good question here from James Campisi. He says, two questions. Where would Milan be if we kept Gattuso as manager? I like this one.
I like it too. I think we'd be in a better position, but I don't think we'd be fighting for Europe right now. Well, we'd be fighting for Europe, but I don't think we'd be within the Champions League fight still. We would view it as a obtainable objective, but I don't think it would still be realistic, and that's simply because Inter's running away with it, Juve's running away with it, and Lazio's doing work right now as well. So I think we'd be fighting with Roma for that fourth place spot, but I don't think we'd be in as healthy a spot as everyone makes it out to be. Like, oh, we should always kept him, you know. Also, I think we would have gone for Zlatan. You know, if we had him and we were doing fine, I don't think we would have made this emergency call to Ibra.
I don't think we would be doing fine. I think that we're not scoring goals and managers cannot get this team to score goals.
I think there's something to be said for the fact that we were, again, I feel like I mention this every week, we finished 1 point behind Inter last season and now we're 23 points off them, which implied that we finished just the wrong side of the dotted line in terms of the Champions League qualification. And had they not scored that late goal, we could be looking at a completely different situation. Maybe we're the ones that get Conte. Maybe we're the ones that go out and spend big on recruiting the right players. You never know. It's an alternate timeline kind of thing. But it implied that radical overhaul wasn't needed because we were close. We were very close. And we had that stretch in the sort of early second half of the season where we looked unbeatable. We just weren't conceding goals and we were scoring goals, winning games. Implied that we didn't need a massive overhaul in the summer, but it came anyway because obviously Gattuso and Leonardo resigned, so our hand was kind of forced in that way. I think there is something to be said for having the continuity and the consistency. If we'd have gone into that summer with Gattuso in charge and we'd have backed his ideas and said, what do you think that we need to get above the dotted line this time around? He made it very clear that he said we needed two or three experienced players. Apparently he wanted Ibra back. And we did reach out and try to get that done last year, but Ibra rejected it. He said he didn't feel he was ready to come back so soon after his injury, which is fair enough. But apparently Gattuso requested Ribery, so he knew we needed a quality left winger, you know, with experience and a kind of, say, a champion mentality. But you know, he's won a lot of things. I think looking at it now, you can argue either way, but the way that Ribery started the season was pretty damn good. And he wanted an experienced signing in the midfield. And I think we're looking at it now thinking, do you know what? He might have been right. He might have been right. And here we are, I guess, you know, it feels like there's been an explosion since then. It feels like there's been a massive grenade dropped and nothing's quite the same from where it was towards the end of last season or even the start of this summer.
Yeah.
And one thing
like the season didn't even happen. You know, it feels like a continuation of Inzaghi's era, not Gattuso's.
But one thing's for sure, we're not better off.
Yeah.
So that's problematic.
Another thing, though, that we got to take into account is looking how, I don't want to say weak the table was last season, but how low the point tally was at the end of it. You know, we finished fifth with 68 points. Well, right now, if you look at fourth place, they're at 35. So halfway through the season, double that, that's 70 points. You know, that's higher. You double where we're at now, we'd finish last season in 11th place on 44 points. I mean, so we've definitely dropped in quality, but everyone else has also grown. And I think that's a big issue.
Last year was a weird year, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Roma and Lazio both... it was both the Rome teams that underperformed massively. We expected competition from them, and it didn't really come. But there was a stat. I remember we looked it up, actually, around about the time towards the end of the season, about 68 points would have only got us top four in, like, two of the previous seven seasons or something like that. So suggests that it was a subpar league that year. But if you can get in anyway, then I wouldn't have complained at all. Right. You can only bring what's there. But this season, it's interesting because we were linked with Simone Inzaghi over the summer as manager. We were linked with Lazio's sporting director, Iglitare, and now look at them. They've won 9 in a row. They're actually legitimate Scudetto contenders. And now you think, should we have pursued them more aggressively?
Well,
I don't know, man.
It's their team. It's not necessarily, I mean, it's them for sure, but our players are playing like shit. And I don't think that if they would have been here, they'd be playing any better.
Yeah, I'd
say. They might be playing a little bit better, but not necessarily that much better.
I just said he's crap. He needs to go. I said to Lazio's president, give us your manager, sporting director, Immobile and Correa. Here's 100 million euros. Pleasure doing business.
Yeah, you know... It's interesting because, like you said, we wanted Tare and we wanted Simone Inzaghi, and they're in third. We were linked with Sarri for a little bit. They're in second. Were we ever linked with Conte? I know we were linked with Conte.
He came for like a game
first. Yeah,
he came for a very little bit of time, I feel like.
Yeah, I think he watched us and said, hell no, I can't fix this. We were linked with Allegri, who obviously doesn't have a job, but won like 7 straight Scudetto. Who else were we linked with that did fantastic? There was Spalletti, who's a serial winner, and you know, where we got stuck with the guy that was hailed for finishing ninth with Sampdoria, who's now in 17th place. So I mean, it doesn't make sense because it's not an improvement to you could look at where we finished in fifth and where they finished in ninth, and that alone is enough to say it was a downgrade. And then the other thing that people used to justify it was like, well, it's Sampdoria, they're a worse side. You know, what he did to bring him to ninth was a bigger deal. But I disagree. I don't think that was the case. And Giampaolo proved it in 7 games. He was sacked. And then we got another guy who just isn't – no one expected Pioli to win anything. You know, no one's saying Pioli's the guy that gets the Champions League. People are saying Pioli's the guy that might help us fight for Europa. And I think that mentality is a big difference. And it just goes back to Elliot, like you said, you know, wanting to be as cheap as they possibly can on the books. I get it. It's a good way to run a business, but it's a terrible way to run a football team.
Mm-hmm. It is. Where do you think we'd be if we kept Giampaolo? Still in an equally bad position, or do you think we might have picked up in that tough run of games?
We'd be in a way worse position.
Yeah, I think we'd be worse
Can
off.
We possibly be in a way worse position?
About 8 positions worse, yeah.
Not realistically, though. There's no way we were ever going to be bottom.
No,
I'm just
there
thinking
wasn't.
Because Pioli's points per game ratio is worse.
It is. It is worse than Giampaolo's, but you also have to look at who they played, how many games. I mean, the sample size now for Pioli is greater, and he also played Napoli, Inter. Did he play Inter?
No.
No.
Giampaolo Napoli, had Juve, Lazio, Roma, Atalanta.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he had all the hard games. His first 5 were
Fucked
like 4 killers. Yeah. So, I mean, you could say his point total is worse, and it's true. It absolutely is, but
I think we played better.
We have played better, and we've played against a lot better teams. You know, all the games that Giampaolo bottled, we were expected to win, and we looked like shit losing. So That's why I think we're in a better spot with Pioli than Giampaolo, but neither would be. Yeah, I don't want him next season.
You can just already tell, can't you, that we're heading towards another complete overhaul this summer. Mm-hmm. Once you know already in January that the manager's not going to be sticking around beyond the end of the season and that our summer window was a flop, you just think we're heading towards it yet again. Anyway, quickly, Saturday, we've not got as long a break this time. Saturday, we've got Cagliari away. So it's a bit of a trip over to, God, is it Sardinia? Yeah, it's Sardinia, isn't it? They got beat 4-0 by Juve today, but they're having a pretty good season. Hopefully, that's the start of their wheels falling off and we get to go there on Saturday and get 3 points. I think this is the kind of game to be... I think I might have said this about Atalanta, but I did predict us to lose that one. I think this might be the kind of game that perhaps favours us slightly because they're a team that likes to play intense on the front foot. They press high. They're a good team to watch and they've got a good midfield with Nandez and Nainggolan. But in terms of perhaps being able to absorb pressure and then counter. So today we came up against 2 banks of four and we found them really difficult to break down because of how compact they were and because of basically how well organised they were, particularly in the first half. On the other hand, this is a game where it might be completely open from the start and that might help us because we should in theory have the superior quality on the pitch.
Yeah, I think it's a winnable game. It's away and that seems to be the only time we can win. We haven't won a home game since Halloween, so that gives us a little boost, I suppose. And like you said, you know, it's not a team that has the favorable matchup against us. They obviously, like you mentioned, Nainggolan and a couple other decent players, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we get a win here. I think we will.
I'd like to get a win. I'd like to see Ibra score. I bet we'll get a draw, though.
It is quite funny that both Juve and Cagliari both played a 4-3-1-2 today. Giampaolo ball in full effect. Cagliari, anyway, Robin Olsen in goal. You know, he's quite a good keeper, in my opinion. Luca Pellegrini's not a bad left-back either. I think Ragnar Klavan's on loan from Liverpool. I could be wrong on that one, but I know he definitely signed for Liverpool. Marco Rog and Nandez are good midfielders. As mentioned, Nainggolan's pretty good. Giovanni Simeone, who was that one season Fiorentina wonder. And then João Pedro, who I really rate. I think he's good. So they're not a bad team individually. They're having a good season. Let me just double check where exactly they are in the league. They're 6th in the league, so they occupy the last European spot. And interestingly, we're still 7 points behind that last European spot. So it's not a write-off by any means, but you just think if we'd have won today, make that 5 points, and it looks so much more manageable. And we say this every single time we drop points, we're going to look back at these games. I mean, even if you think we find a way to win that Sassuolo game and we find a way to win today, add 4 points to our total, and all of a sudden we are 9 points behind Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't look a million miles away, but
I think even if we finished in 6th, we would step out of Europa League.
I think we need the revenue.
We only got like 15 million from it.
15 million.
I'm just curious about FFP. You know, like, would they be? What is their situation? Are they still hounding us down? I don't even know anymore.
Oh yeah. We're still. I mean, that was part of the trade off for getting kicked out is that they've slackened our parameters slightly. I think, you know, it'd be interesting to see what happens if there is a change in ownership. What they want to do, if they want to have the club's brand back on a European stage, and they'd probably make sure that we go in. And also, you couldn't question the club's financial health if a multi-billionaire came in and bought us out. So he'd probably just like, yeah, do it, whatever. We'll pay the FFP fines. We'll, but I don't know. Interesting one.
Louis Vuitton could sponsor our shirts, and their sponsorship deal could be as much as our debt.
We can do a Juve and pay for players' wages through sponsorship agreements. We'll get them all out.
We could do
Louis
a Juve and have one of our parent companies sponsor the referees.
God, Juve's so dirty.
Yeah, but as long as it wins them the league this year, then that's fine by me.
I know, I feel like they're not cheating enough this year. It's frustrating.
Yeah, right. Cal, your eight, name your 11.
Same back line, except Conte instead of Calabria. Obviously, Donnarumma. Midfield 3, I would go... Yeah, I'm going to say Kessier, Bennacer, Bonaventura, Liao, Ibra, Suso. Or Castillo. I can't bring myself to give that guy a vote of confidence, Suso.
The same exact minus Suso, put in Castillejo.
Donnarumma, I'm keeping Calabria in there. I really don't think he was as bad as people are saying today, minus that back pass. He will make sure he doesn't do that again. That's the second time he's done it this season. This time it didn't cost a goal, whatever.
I did hear his last thing mad at him for that.
Good. He won't do it again then. If Caldara's fit, throw him in there. Because I'm sick of seeing Musacchio get bullied by bang average centre-forwards. Romagnoli didn't have a good game. I will say that. He got spun a couple of times. And also, he was the one who allowed Gabbiadini through on goal.
Sell him for 40 million.
Just 20 mil. Left-back, Teo, obviously. It's a shame Billy is injured. And hear me out on this. I am ready to see Bennacer play in that right central midfield spot. I think he had a good game as a regista today, but obviously we keep seeing these reports saying that he wants to move him to be... And when he drives the ball forward with energy, I think that's when we see the best from Bennacer. And when he's allowed to perhaps not be as cautious on the ball and he can dodge and weave tackles, he looks really, really good. And he plays his best football there for Algeria. So I'm ready to see him move there since nobody else wants to nail down that spot. And I'm ready to... maybe even start Paqueta on the left side, since we've now got that balance. Problem is, we don't have a regista to put in there now because Billy is injured for a few weeks. But if we were to sign one in midweek...
Kessier. Sit
if,
back farther.
If he can
up.
Promise to be responsible enough, then yeah. He could potentially be like
promise
another...
he'll be responsible.
Yeah. Zlatan.
I think Zlatan will give him too much service. He'll get hungry. He'll take shots from deep.
Kessier could shoot from 30 yards out at Zlatan's head, and we just hope that it deflects in. Like that free kick in the Champions League final that just hits Inzaghi and goes in.
There was a... I think it was when Zlatan was at PSG. There was a goalkeeper caught the ball off like Zlatan's attack or one of the Paris players' attacks, and he went to throw it out. And he just threw it and hit Zlatan in the head, and it deflected into the goal.
I don't remember
what
that.
Season that was. It was, I think, 16-17. Mm-hmm. I'll have to find it. It was a funny video.
Find that now, yeah.
Hey, do you know what's crazy? He scored more goals for LA Galaxy than he scored for Milan.
I know. What's not crazy?
No, it's not crazy. He did two seasons, and also the MLS is a part-timers league. So, he's pretty good. Modric is going to DC United, though, so maybe
is
we
that
shouldn't...
official? I didn't see that.
No, it's not.
No, but it's a genuine rumor. It is a genuine rumor. Wouldn't surprise me if Modric packs in and goes for another team in Europe, to be honest.
Yeah.
Or he goes to China or something like that. It wouldn't surprise me if he goes to
China. China had some crazy rules now.
Yeah, they can't. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
it's a low one, too.
There's meant to be ways to circumvent it, isn't there, still? But Regards to brand deals and stuff and image rights, I guess. But we'll figure more about it. They needed to happen anyway. I'm sick of them paying Hulk €500,000 a year, a week, sorry, and stuff like that, yeah. Anyway, front three, I'm sticking with Sousa, that's fine. Ibra starts, Liao on the left side, playing as like an inside forward, and hope that we win. Score prediction?
2-1, us.
2-2 with an Ibrahimovic brace. No. 2-2, Ibra, Liao.
That'd be nice. We have a couple of different scores. I think we lose 3-0, being deadly serious.
Jesus Christ.
It's been that kind of season. Like, we go to Atalanta and lose 5-0, and then we can't score at home to Sampdoria, and people expect us to go and win on a different island.
A different island.
Any transfer rumors to think about? Probably not.
Nothing. No, there's really nothing. We're waiting on Fernandez.
Apparently, we made an official offer for Jedson Fernandez. He's an actual register. That'd be kind of cool, but might have to overpay. Apparently, Everton are the ones who are most likely to sign him.
Yeah, Everton.
Massara said that he thinks a center back is all we need right now, which to me says we're going to go for a midfielder also.
Yeah. Well, all we need right now, I think,
which screams midfielder all over it.
Kessier leaves.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he will go. I think it's not just necessarily, you know, the right offer coming in and stuff. It sounds like it's a combination of his inconsistency and off the field stuff that suggests that you just no longer consider. I think 25 mil and he goes. We did get one. All right, two more questions I want to mention, then we'll wrap up. One comes from Chinaza. Says, why hasn't Pioli used Daniel Maldini and Marco Brescianini, even though he calls them up for every game and has them part of the matchday squad? They've both been doing really well in the Primavera. I know it's difficult in a team of young players that are struggling, arguably because they're young and inexperienced. But Brescianini in particular, given that nobody wants to nail down that right centre mid spot, he must be knocking on the door. I mean, his stats this season are ridiculous.
Yeah, I was actually about to say, why don't we start filtering in some youth players?
If the season's right off.
Right, I mean, what do you have to lose?
I would like to see Maldini in there playing. It would be nice to see what he can do, give him 10 minutes here and there.
I wouldn't mind if he got a cap, but I don't think either of them are the solution. You know, I don't think Brescianini more so than Maldini, because I mean, we don't have a real attacking midfielder position right now, and so we play him as a striker. And
yeah, but you don't ever think that your youth players are going to be gonna fill the void.
Well, that's
they
what I'm saying.
They just
kind of
come in and they naturally do it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, the question is, you know, why aren't we using them? I'm saying, well, there's no reason to, you know. It's nice sentiment to give them a shot, but they're kids. They're not going to help us. You know, at most, they have, like, a breakout performance.
Didn't they say that about Messi?
Well, Messi was different. No one was hyping Brescianini when he was 8 years old. You know, Messi was eating cookies every time he scored a hat trick. Okay, well, sorry.
Brescianini scored 8 goals in 13 appearances this season from central midfield.
Which is fantastic, but he's also playing Primavera goalkeepers, Primavera defenders.
The second
division.
But
he is also 19.
Yeah, it's about time that he gets bumped up.
It is essentially Locatelli all over again.
Look at Donnarumma. He got bumped up when he was 16. Do you think that we were expecting him to be who he is?
I thought he was going to be trash because we put him in for the in the ICC against Bayern Munich for a penalty shootout. And I was like, why the hell would we do that? He's a freaking kid. We're going to lose this game. And we did. And then when we brought him in for Diego Lopez, I was like, here we go again. And then he had his performance. So, admittedly, I could be wrong. You know, that's not far-fetched, but...
Surely not. You're never wrong.
I was about to say.
I just think the good majority of the time, youth isn't the answer. So...
No, but if we are going with this youth project and we don't want to go spending 30 mil on random wingers, then there's no better place to look than within perhaps sometimes we'll get Pochettino and do the job properly. Daniel Maldini, I don't think, is quite ready yet, but Bresciani's Primavera captain. He's been doing it for 2-3 years now, so I'd like to see it, but we need to manage him better than we did Locatelli, without a doubt, if he were to get the call up. Final question, then we're done. Comes from Dan Winder. Under over goal predictions for these three players. Piontek, assuming he stays, under over 10.5.
Under.
Under.
What's he on now? 4?
Yeah, he's on 4 with a 1 from open play.
Under. I don't think he stays.
Yeah, I don't think he is. He might get one more for the rest of the season if he stays, but I don't think he's going to get the game time to be scoring.
No.
Maybe.
Liao under over 6.5.
Also under. Because he has 1. He gets 5 over. More.
Oh.
You think he's going to get at
least... I think he's going to get more game time.
I mean, I think he will too if he plays on the wing, but I think he's going to... Well, I don't know, because if you look, you know, his last thing gave him good service today. Yeah. Mm. I mean, it's possible. If there's someone who's going to do it, it's him, but I don't think he will.
Confidence player. If he gets 2 goals in the next 2 games or something like that, then I would be 1,000% yes. But he needs a shot to find the back of the net. And until then, I don't really know. Anyway, last one, Ibra, under over 6.5. Starting over. From 0.
Over. I think he'll get 11 or 12 this year.
Yeah, I'm thinking he's going to get in the double digits.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to say under. I don't think he'll do it.
Well,
I don't know why.
Dumb.
Well, you are no longer allowed on the podcast.
Well, I already said he's going to snap his ACL at some point, isn't he, sir?
Oh, my God.
Well.
You said he was going to do that today, 15 minutes in. Proven wrong.
He did. They've just released a statement.
Honestly, at one point, though, he did land a little weird, and I saw him take, like, a jump after, and I seriously thought it happened. I was about to freak out.
You should laugh, but imagine if I called it perfectly. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Dude. No. Man. So mad. It sounds like every person we sign to be like our savior gets injured really quick. You know, like Caldara. Why can't I think of anyone else? There's a Paqueta last season.
Really has had lots of problems with injuries.
Yeah. Oh, Teo got injured as soon as the season started. Like, yeah, it always happens with us. Conte, 2 years.
Yeah, shit. Yeah. He's croc. That's everything, I think, boys. Anything to add?
No, glad to be back. It was a bit rocky of a road to get here, but it's good to vent all my frustrations again instead of just walking around the house all mad, tipping over water bottles,
doing random periscopes.
Yeah,
you're one of those roommates, aren't you? You just tip shit over and destroy stuff,
just knocking things off the counter for no reason.
Speaking of which, my cat's outside. Better let her in. Yeah, anyway, thanks for joining us, everyone. I've been your host, Ollie Fisher. You can find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher or at Kilpin Chronicle for some more explicit Milan-based rants. I've been joined by Anthony Torgrud.
Yeah, I won't forget my Twitter this time. at Torgrud45. You can follow me there. Like I said, been a lot of good fun. Definitely watch us on YouTube for those listening and not watching this. It's also going to be on YouTube, so check us out there. And Madison, you can sign us off.
Yeah, you guys can go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Madison_DT.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. Hopefully we're back in a week's time reflecting on a win. It'd make a nice change. But in the meantime, we'll catch you in a week.
Patrick, mettila in mezzo, Patrick. Palla nostra, Suso, tira Alessio, Suso, tira. Perché non tiriamo? Ma perché non tiriamo? Gol! Alessio Romagnoli, gol! Alessio Romagnoli! Alessio! Il gol del capitano ancora! Ancora l'ultimo, come Gilardino, detto ieri in conferenza.